Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Here we go. That was a nice fade out, Greg. That was good. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our, I don't even know how many weeks now we've been going weekly. This is episode 52 of No Spin Rodeo. Kendra, those flowers are beautiful. I can see them in the corner of your string. All of you that are joining us on YouTube, you got to get on YouTube if you're podcasting every now and then, because you are missing a really cool video square, Hollywood Square of Kendra. What are the flowers? Those are beautiful.
Aren't those beautiful? Oak got those for me yesterday. Very sweet. He just planted roses here in his yard too. And I would love to say that I can't believe I did this, but I was pretty sleep deprived last week when I said, you said, where are you? And I said, I'm in the steer roping capital of the world in Shakota. And it's the steer wrestling. I got steer wrestling saddles from Houston and world titles and whatever. Shakota, Oklahoma, steer wrestling. Home of the Combs, the Duvals, Oat. Anyway.
Pretty cool. Now, does that have a coupon for 50% off a shark anywhere around it? Those flowers? Wondering.
They're so pretty, but he just planted some that are going to be this yellow and orange, or yellow and coral or whatever. They're beautiful.
They're very pretty. Very nice of him. Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I look pretty weathered because it was a long day in the office. So we'll do a little coffee time. Kendra just told us where she's at. But I am interested, Kendra. You said that you attended an event that I really wanted to attend because I saw it promoed and it was down the road. Could you share with us where you spend your entertainment dollar?
Okay, well, we were in Stephenville, and we were going to have kind of like a little guys' night out plus one with my son Taylor and his baby boy Bo, and Oat, and then me. And so Taylor's wife Jordan went to pick up her mom and grandma. So we were going to like go do something fun. Well, down the road in Glen Rose, there was a Mexican midget cool rodeo. And so I thought, you know, Taylor's like, you want to go to this? And by golly, you know, I feel like I thought I'd seen it all in rodeo, but it was wild.
Well, so Kendra shared with us, and if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to go to full screen and watch this. This is a midget, a small person, matador. Is that a woman? It's a woman matador too, right?
It's a woman. It's a woman. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Uh-oh. Ooh, the fence. Ah, ow. Oh.
This, they call it bull riding. Do you see the cross-dressing clown? and this is bull riding, but you see, they ride backwards. There was a cross-dressing clown. I'm not sure what that was about, but it was, and they had bareback riding, which was they ride a pony, and the bull riding they ride backwards. But look, these I don't know if they're heifers or steers or what, but they said they come from out in California, where those badass bullfighting little Mexican fighting bulls are from. Oh, here comes the bareback riding.
You gotta see that. If you people aren't watching it on YouTube, you're missing something.
I mean, but you know what? I was really proud. Like $35 a head, and they packed them in there.
They did.
And I thought, you know what? Yes. And I thought, this is really, you know, good for them. And the only thing, like the flyers and the posters and everything around town were like family friendly. And the only thing is, like, The cross-dressing clown was going up in the stands and doing lap dances with, like, right by us with this man who had his wife and little kid and this, I mean, lap dancing with two basketballs in the front of his shirt. And that was a little wild. But
I love small people. I hired a gentleman by the name of Matt Tumlin one time to go on tour with me. In World's Toughest or Toughest Cowboy or one of those. And he was a small person and I had a meeting with him and I said, okay, Matt, I want to be politically correct. What, do I call you a dwarf or a midget? He said, you don't call me a midget. I said, okay, well, just tell me. And he said, we're small people. And he went on tour and his primary job was to keep me in a good mood. And he did a great job. You know, I'll tell a quick story about Matt. My truck drivers, the very first stop, I get a call from Matt, and they went into the truck stop to get fuel. They let Matt go in. When they came out, they tied a rope to the rearview mirror and made Matt crawl up the rope to get into the semi, and then they drove off. So you can imagine what we called him Little Matt had to deal with in the entire tour, but I think little people are great. And I wish that Donna showed me the promo and said, we should go to this, but I was out of town. So.
Cool. Well, and I talked to Tuff Hedema on the phone this morning and I told him that we went and he was so mad. He's like, Riker and I were on the brink of going. If we would have known, we would have met you there, you know, because it's like, well, rodeos is our thing. And also, but talking about, you know, small people or I'm not even sure their preference or whatever, but Charlie Too Tall West has been a staple in as a rodeo clown in California forever. I remember him all the way back from high school rodeo and his wife, Mitch, my dad was her vet when we were little kids, we played on softball team together. Like, they're awesome people. They're really nice people. And Charlie, I know he just had back surgery, but people will recognize him if they're not from California, seeing him out in the arena all the time. At the NFR every year for decades now, he goes out there in front of the star that's going to sing the national anthem and rolls out the red carpet, and he wears a tuxedo every night. Everybody's seen that, but that's Charlie West. And anyway, super cool guy. But yeah, that was entertaining.
That's super cool. Well, Greg, where are you at? Well, I know where you're at, but you want to tell everybody where you're at?
Sure, I'm in Logandale, Nevada. It's about an hour outside of Las Vegas, and it is very hot here this week. So spring is over in Logandale.
That's a good rodeo. There's not a lot of trees out there, is there?
Nope. Yeah. Just dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. And bushes. Exactly. And bushes and scorpions and all that kind of stuff.
And it's in like the Lake Mead Valley. So it is pretty. It's got a lot of plateaus and, you know, a lot of hiking and stuff. But yeah, it's a good rodeo for sure.
It's a great rodeo. And I'm getting ready. I'll be producing and we'll be working with the Western Sports Foundation. And you might have seen this, Kendra, but they've got their second annual Dancing with Rodeo Stars. And they do it at Tannehill's in the Stockyards. And, you know, you can check it out online if you want to see the lineup because you can donate. The money donated goes to the Western Sports Foundation. And, I mean, Casey Fields there, Shane Proctor. I can't even go over the whole lineup. I didn't write it. I've got it in my notes for the show. But it is a cool
Lindsey Prosser's doing it. Yeah. Casey Fields, he's doing it with his daughter, right? And yep. And Lindsey Prosser's doing it with a Colorado Bulldogger named Colt Honey. I think the Proctors are doing it with Shane and his wife are doing it together, right?
Yep.
Haley. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Haley, yeah. And Trevor Hediman. There's seven dancers and they have judges there. They give an award away on site for the best one by the judges. And then they give a fan favorite award, which is kind of based on online involvement and donations. And it'll be aired on the Cowgirl Channel and on the Cowboy Channel Plus app. So it's a fun time. It was really great last year. And it's funny to watch these folks, put together their dance routines. It's a cool event. It's a cool event. So that's what I'm gearing up for this Thursday night at 7 o'clock at Tannehill's.
And it raises money for a great, the Western Sports Foundation, right? It's a great cause that helps Cowboys, right?
It does help Cowboys, and it's unique. You know, the Justin Sports Medicine Program is been a staple for helping Cowboys, but the Western Sports Foundation is a little different. They're about mental health and about financial preparedness for the future. So these Cowboys can call in and get free financial, like high level financial advice about planning so that, you know, they have something when they're not running their hand in the rigging or swinging a rope. So it's a unique place. And they were always very active in the professional bull riders. And now they're reaching out into more Western lifestyle things. So proud of the Western Sports Foundation. They're a good cause. They do good things.
Not everyone has a mother who has preached to them since they were itty bitty to max out their Roth IRA.
Yeah. You got to have the money to put in it, but you're absolutely right. Okay. Well, this episode is no crossfire. We didn't really do that much of a crossfire last time, but this episode, we're going to do our rodeo news. Then we're going to catch up on feedback. So Kendra, would you kick us off with rodeo news?
Sure. And I wanted to say one other tiny little brain phrase besides calling Shakota the steer for open capital last time, steer wrestling capital is correct, is when I was talking about Marcus Terrio, it's really odd that I said he was a 2020 kind event champion of the world because my own son Taylor was a 2020. And it's because Taylor had just had 70 cc's of fluid taken out of his knee. And I just hung up and talking to him and was sort of distracted by that. But Marcus was the 2021 timed event champion. Anyway, in follow-up to that, that horse Chevy is still with us, and there's not a whole lot of change, but you know, they're still doing everything they could think to do to try and give him every chance. So cool. Yes, okay. So the big sad news is that we lost another member of our rodeo family in this last week. And Dylan Grant, a 24-year-old bull rider. He graduated. He's at University of Wyoming graduate in 2023. But he was at the Wharton County Youth Fair Extreme Bulls event in Wharton, Texas, on April 3rd, and he got stepped on. And the producers who reached out to me first, but you know they had a crowd there of people, so it's one of those things where a lot of people, you know, witnessed this happen and, you know, stepped on in the neck area. And, you know, they worked on him in the ambulance and then he was life flighted to Memorial Hermann, Texas Medical Center in Houston. And he didn't make it. And I have had some people, you know, when it's more appropriate timing, when his family can catch their breath. His dad, Wade, his mom's Tiffany, and his brother's Derek, but his dad was a bull rider too. And I've, you know, been back and forth with him some, but he, you know, having ridden bulls and having a lot of bull rider friends, somehow, you know, there are sometimes we lose somebody and their family has nothing to do with rodeo. And I almost feel like it's harder. Like, I don't know. These losses are impossible. And they kind of bring out the best and worst in everybody too. What I find is like some people have messaged me with things to tell his parents, you know, when they can catch their breath. You know, like the parish priest from that area, like prayed over him while they waited, you know, to life flight him out of there and different things, you know, that I hope that there will be some, you know, I don't know, piece of, you know, perfect strangers, were helping him to the ambulance and everything else. So it's very sad news. And, most people, have been, you know, so wonderful in sending their sympathy to his family. And then there were a few crazy people. There was one person that was like, hey, I'm posting a video of it. If anyone wants to watch, like, and this person posts video of people dying, I'm like, block, 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 block. Like, yeah. What? I don't understand people. And they're, anyway.
That's just terrible.
There's never a decent time for that. But Dylan Grant, you know, had a lot of friends and by all accounts was a fine young man and cowboy. And so, you know, we're all thinking about it. So thinking about his family and his friends, and there's a lot of shocked, sad people. So prayers for every one of them.
Yeah, prayer for him. And it just highlights the fact that this truly is a very dangerous sport. And we often take it for granted until we lose one of our family members. So God bless his family and help him through a hard time.
True. And none of us has ever gotten, I don't think I've ever gotten through a performance where there wasn't like 1 inch and that guy would not still be with us, you know, and guys get up and walk away all the time. And you're just like, that was so close to being catastrophic, you know? So anyway, okay, on a brighter, much brighter note, very cool. And I just happened to run into Marty Yates yesterday at Stephenville Trailers, picking up a trailer, and I was looking at Taylor's new trailer. Days of 47 Rodeo, you may have heard of it in Salt Lake City, just did something really cool, which I know this is at least the second year, because I remember we talked about it last year, but Cassie Mowry and Marty Yates, they each won trophy stirrups and $15,000 bonuses for the 2024 Pioneer Week Top Hand Award, which is for the high money winners at Salt Lake City, Ogden, and Spanish Fork. And April 3rd, which is, we were just talking about April 3rd a minute ago with Dylan, the Utah Governor's State of Sports Banquet was held, and Cassie and Marty, $15,000. That's legit and a very cool thing that those three committees are doing. So,
and they're in good company. Yeah, I was there. They're in good company because the Olympians are honored. All of the major athletes from Utah, the Paralympians are honored. I mean, it's really, and they closed down the Delta Center, and the governor was there, and the keynote speaker, and I got to shake his hand and talk to him, but he's one of my favorite sports figures. It was Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, right? He was there, and it was to shake his hand, and, you know, he talked about cowboy hats, and it's good company, and really proud that we can make sure that we endorse these athletes in our own unique culture with all of the other athletes and let them win a prize. And what that is if it's the high money earner from Spanish Fork, Ogden, and Days of 47 combined, in both the WPRA or the women's portion and the men's. So both Marty and Cassie came. It's a long program, but I think it was rewarding, and we're proud of it. So thanks for bringing it up. It was cool.
Great. Yeah. And I have a couple of injury updates. Rusty Wright, of course, of the famous Wright family. So he broke his right arm, which is his free arm, at Cave Creek, Arizona the other day. And he just turned out at, there he is, thumbs up, turned out at San Angelo in Loveland, Texas, to have surgery. But he is planning to come back this weekend for the American. And then Trey Benton III, bull rider, he broke the lower leg bone, the shin bone, the tibia, in his right leg March 21st at Austin, had surgery, a rod and two screws on March 26th. And, you know, he's been to 7 NFRs already. I didn't mention Rusty's 5, but Trey Benton III, you know, they call him TB3, like, he has won almost $50,000 in the very early going. Now, it's too bad for the setback, and he's going to have to sit out, but he was, like, you know, top 5 there. You know, he jumped out to a, you know, hot start or whatever. So I'm not clear how long he's going to be out, but sounds like Rusty, I guess, especially because this is free arm, is going to come back really fast. But I don't know with a broken leg how long Trey will be out. So thinking about those people and happy complete healing, and hope to see them both soon. I guess Rusty sooner than later is planning on it.
Yeah, I bet he'll probably ride with the cast, I assume, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Well, TB3, yeah, it, you know, he's one of those guys that you can't hardly bet against him, right? When he's not supposed to ride something, he does, it seems like. So I noticed that all things were going good for him, and it's too bad, but you know, this sport is relentless, and let's hope he gets back. And it does look, he has a beautiful family. I mean, that's a big family for a guy that's riding bulls and gets home every now and then. He's staying busy, so that's good.
He does have a beautiful family, and you know what? That beautiful wife of his, her name is Reba. And fun fact, I used to see her roping all the time. She's a roping fiend. She was at all the team ripens for years, and that's Cody Ohl's half sister.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And she married a bull rider. And so anyway, super cool. The rodeo family, the ties are everywhere, right? We're connected. So
that's super cool. Yeah. Super cool. Well, the only, I saw a couple things. Did you see there was a deal out that the FBI just convicted a former VP of the Houston Rodeo for wire fraud in the name of $2.8 million. So that caught my eye, and I thought, holy moly, and I'm not going to get into it in the names or anything, but it did say that Houston, you know, they cut their ties with this guy, and the rodeo did in 2019. But what I thought was interesting is it said, quote, that a lot of the victims were a part of the rodeo, you know, were the people he met via the rodeo. And that's big wire fraud. That's a lot of money he got out of people. And I'm just betting, you know, he's going to jail for a pretty good time. And you know, he pleaded guilty. But I thought it was interesting. And I thought to myself, I bet he didn't get a check from Tallman or Binion or Leon Coffey or Boyd or any of those guys. I bet they didn't invest in the granite business or whatever this guy was doing. So I just thought that was weird to see that, you know, in our circles. And the only other thing that I thought, you know, we mentioned that Kit Sturman was leaving the Hall of Fame, and they announced that Teresa Cobb, and some of you may know Teresa, she was the circuit director and heavily involved with the convention and an administration with the PRCA. I understand she starts Saturday, and she'll be the new director of the Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Teresa. We work with her on very intimately on, she was instrumental in us getting the spot for the wives in the back number ceremony, because she worked with us with the back number ceremony and the awards banquet. So I'm not sure who will replace her. I did get sent a link that said that, you know, you can apply for that job. So it looks, you know, maybe they're not promoting within, or maybe they are, but it looks like there's applications open for that job. So if you want to go to the Springs and figure out the circuits, there's a link on the PRCA site to apply. All right. Well, now what we do in this, we're trying to keep these quick. Now what we do is we go through feedback. Now, we are going to put up on the screen what you send us. So understand that if you are watching this live on YouTube or on Facebook and you see some typos and stuff, we're putting up the original stuff without any tiebacks to who it is. And so when Greg has a hard time reading it, that's why. And in a lot of these, we're going to do our best to try to figure out what the hell you're talking about and answer you. But in some of these that we get, if we literally cannot figure out what you're talking about, we're not going to put them up because we don't know what to say. So just in full transparency, we're going to go through these. This is what today is about. Go through them one by one and tell you what we know about the questions and or feedback that you give us, all of you no spinners. So, Kendra, you ready to tackle the feedback today?
Sure.
All right, Greg, roll out the first one.
All right.
We'll figure out what we're doing.
The first one. Great episode. Hey, Tommy Joe, great episode as always. Really enjoy the weekly shows. I wanted to share some thoughts on the Houston payout discussion. While I totally get where you're coming from and agree that the high level of performances, especially guys riding their bulls, should be rewarded, it also highlights a tricky aspect of the Houston format. Those top four riders made it through a field of 40 contestants, which is no small feat. If none of them earn a payout for placing in the top four, it essentially removes any money for being in the top four. If in Houston, everything hinges on the final ride, there is little financial recognition for the overall run leading up to it and being top four out of 40. I understand that the showdown round is designed to be a high stakes finish, but it still seems like those riders who fought their way through the whole field should walk away with something. The progressive round payouts don't really match the effort that it takes to advance that far. So yes, rewarding excellence is key. I'm with you on that. But I also think the Houston format complicates that picture a bit. Just my two cents, but I appreciate the conversation you are having around it. Keep up the great work.
Well, since they called me out, I think you'll see traces of this in some of the other feedback today. You know, there's always been a discussion on rodeo and sports and culture, and, you know, and Kendra and I often have interaction with each other on these progressive rounds and versus aggregates. And I don't disagree with what you're saying. And I think it takes a lot to become the top four. I just wonder, and I haven't studied the Houston format. I understand what they're doing. I just wonder if there isn't an option to push that money back down to qualified rides earlier on in the game and spread that money out with qualified rides. It's just a thing. It's just weird to me to get paid if you don't qualify. I understand what you're saying, and I get it. But $20,000 in a money race to the Buckles is a lot of money, right, in this situation. And I think I could argue, Kendra, both ways. I mean, I completely understand what Houston's doing. But I think our point was, or at least I think yours, Kendra, and I'll let you talk to it, is that, you know, that's a lot of points. That's a lot of money, that you cut out there. And we're not going to rehash this, but you know, I get it.
Well, I think perhaps if this person was saying something specifically to you, it could possibly be because last time we were on here, you said that the way you have it set up to where if nobody makes in the finals, if nobody makes the whistle, you give the money to charity, correct? You have a ground rule that way?
Right. Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that may be what they're talking about.
And, you know, I guess here's the deal. I mean, there was a qualified ride, right? So the question, I don't know. Again, we could literally sit here and play poker on this all night long. Our point was that's a lot of points. That's a lot of money. And I just kind of have this personal thing that if it's not qualified, if you don't complete the race, how can you win? But there's big arguments against that. So, and we got to flip one now.
Yeah, right? Correct. But I'll also say on that, like, if you think about, because I think I mentioned last time, you know, if you're in the final four, say you're a steer wrestler, well, you might have had to make another complete trip back to town, and maybe, you know, whatever, maybe you have one that, you know, stops at the line or whatever it is, you get in no time. I do see the point. You're asking somebody to come all the way back to the rodeo and if they didn't stop the clock for them to go home empty handed, I don't think people are going to go for that. So anyway, let's keep going.
Okay, here's a counter argument from Salinas, California. I love the new YouTube of feedback. Splitting 2-3-4 for ground money in the bull riding finals at Houston was wrong. Mr. H would have been leading the world right now, but instead three bull riders, and I'm not capable of bull riding, were just given $20,000 participation trophies for entering and not finish. Unless I miss something. As for those hating on Haley and Rocker, three words: saddle up, a-holes.
Well, we did talk about this a long time. Yeah,
we talked about it, and everybody has their opinion, and I think that there's probably some validity on both sides. And again, what we do is open stuff up for discussion, and you can agree or disagree or take one side or the other. Just come with a good argument. I do like, you know, the Haley and Rocker thing. You know, we've talked about that too. You know, everybody, it's either love or hate them, but we're with you, and thanks for the feedback.
Well, the other thing I'll say about this one, and we did talk more completely in episode 52, so we don't have to go all through it. But what I remember about it is we did mention that, okay, so they split second, third, and fourth. And who was it? It was Stetson Wright. I don't remember all of them. But the 20,000 they got for bucking off in the finals at Houston counts. And so that is, you know, that's like a great rodeo. There are very few rodeos that we have all year long. So that's where this person is saying participation trophy, because they got paid 20 grand for backing off. But, you know, to the previous feedback's point, they did make it to the final four out of 40 people. So yep. Decide for yourself, basically.
Yep. Your opinion's valid because it's yours. All right. What do we got next, Greg?
So from the 502, do you feel PBR is too much athlete and not enough cowboy?
Kendra, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I thought you had your hand in here. Go ahead.
Well, I can understand where someone might say that in the way that the PBR presents. But remember, the PBR had a campaign earlier where they really embraced the cowboy culture, and it was called Be Cowboy. Some of you may have remembered some of the commercials and stuff on it, and it was, you know, but I think while I'm one that advocates that our rodeo participants are athletes, only because I wished that there was the payback for other athletic competitions, what makes us unique is our culture. It's the gritty toughness. It's the yes ma'ams, the no ma'ams, the going up and down the roads and the vans. It's all of that stuff that what makes us. And I think what a lot of the older school, probably Gen X, you know, people like me, we just don't want to lose that culture reality. But I don't think we do by doing hero pieces, right? By doing hero pieces and telling the stories of these athletes, and it's fair to call all of them athletes, both sides of the arena. The animals are athletes. It's really animal athletes against human athletes in some of the competitions. So I would say I don't think they've went too far athlete. I think the PBR still embraces cowboy. That's my personal opinion, and they're taking cowboy hats to Madison Square Garden. I mean, so, you know, what's your take on that, Kendra?
Well, and also, saying that, you know, sometimes it's athlete against athlete. It's also like a synchronized dance sometimes, whether you're talking about a calf horse or a bulldogging horse or a team ripping horse, or by the way, a bucking horse. It's like the, you know, I mean, half the score depends, you know, so it's not even necessarily going against each other, but working together. And so, you know, the athletes and the four-legged and the two-legged. And so, you know, the fact is, we've said it before, but it's just a fact. Fewer back historically, most rodeo cowboys were ranch raised, and that's not the case anymore. But also, you know, with the PBR, so many of those guys, you know, being from Brazil, we've also mentioned some of those guys came from, you know, poverty in Brazil where they had a dirt floor in their house. And it is so cool that as talented as they are, they can come here and like make a life. And if they decide to go back home, you know, buy themselves a beautiful ranch they never dreamed they'd have, you know, from the poverty that they grew up in or whatever. I mean, there are so many there are so many great stories. And also, let's remember that the PBR demographic of the spectators is very different. You know, more of the concert crowd, at least when I worked for the PBR those first 16 years, it was, you know, the demographics were different than rodeo. And I'm assuming they probably still are.
Yeah, and I will say, to this, and I don't think it's the PBR's intent, but these young guys now are, like you said, Kendra, which is a good point, I want to reinforce it, that they're being trained to be bull riders at a young age. Some of them with no agriculture or ranch background, they're just physically fit and want to try it. And that's not bad. I mean, the PBR has their own, I noticed it in the National Western, they have their own, I forgot the name of it, but basically it's a recruitment, right? Because they need bull riders. And, you know, I remember, I think I've told this story, but I remember Adriano at 6 o'clock in the morning, Adriano Marias being there doing sit-ups, you know, because his he kind of took that more athletic approach. And then there were guys that could ride just as good as him, bad English, that stayed out all night long and partied and showed up and nod their head. So,
well,
you know,
Troy Dunn was chain smoking, and Adriano and Paulo Krimber were out there doing 1,000 sit-ups and lapping that pool 200 times. Seriously, they were. I was out at those pools visiting with them sometimes, and they were wild men with their fitness.
And now wild. In teams, that really kind of pushes it to the athlete side, I feel.
Yeah, it sure makes it feel, you know, but I do think that the PBR wants to align itself in sports. I just think that what makes us unique is our culture, and I will never quit saying that. It's the people and what we stand for that makes us unique. We may not be the richest athletes out there, but we're real.
But you can be both. There's no reason to classify as an athlete and a cowboy. It's an athletic cowboy.
Agree with that. Yeah. So I guess I don't, to answer the question, and I would say I don't think they're too much athlete, not enough cowboy. That's my personal opinion. Is that what you think, Kendra? Or do you think they've leaned too much to the athlete side?
I don't have any feeling about that. So I guess I don't have much to say about that. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Also from the 502, no amount of all-around championships can overshadow Ty Murray's all-arounds. Three rough stock events and was great at all three. Not taken away from Trevor or Stetson. What they did was amazing. But all three rough stocks, Jim Shoulders, Ty Murray, and then the rest almost put Sean Miner, IPRA, up there.
Okay. I don't know whether to chuckle or grimace, but like, I was front row for Ty's greatness, and it was out of this world. Amazing, awesome. Three rough stock events. I mean, he was just, you know, absolutely iconic, but not taking anything away from Trevor or Stetson, I'm like, I will respectfully not even exactly understand the point here. So, and they mentioned Jim Shoulders. So I'm just going to say a few statistics. Okay. For one thing, Jim Shoulders had 16 total gold buckles, which is now third of all time overall, behind Trevor Brazil's 26, Guy Allen's 18, and then Jim Shoulders had 16. But of those 16, Jim had five all-around titles. Okay. And seven bull riding and four bareback riding. So Mahan, Larry Mahan, you know, Ty took the torch from Mahan. His childhood dream was to beat Mahan's record, you know, and he got that done, and that was so cool. But like, okay, Mahan had six all-around championships and two bull running titles, total of eight. Okay. Ty had a total of nine. He won the world twice in the bull riding, but seven. So that was, you know, a huge, big, huge, super big deal. Now, Stetson Wright's mentioned. Stetson Wright's amazing and is just getting warmed up, right? But like, okay, Stetson has 8 gold buckles, 5 all-around buckles, and 2 bronc, 1 bronc riding and 2 bull riding. Trevor Brazil. Okay, so the record before Trevor was 7 in the all-around. Trevor has 14 all-around championships. And 8 in the steer roping, 3 in the calf roping, 1 in the team roping. And so everybody in this, you know, mentioned here, Shoulders, Mahan, Murray, Brazil, Wright, they're all just absolute legends. But to say, I'm not even sure why they're throwing the IPR in there, whatever. I don't know Sean Miner. I'm sure he's a great cowboy. I don't know anything to even say anything about that. But people started calling Stetson Wright like king of the cowboy or whatever. And like Stetson Wright's amazing. And we have no idea, you know, what his final tally will look like. But to act like, you know, not taking anything away from Trevor or Stetson, but what Ty did is so much better. I don't follow it. And P.S., you know, Ty was world-class in 3 events. Trevor won in 4 different categories, world championships, and qualified for the national finals in 4 different events. Like, how can you possibly say that? I mean, what? I don't see how you can say, you know, but you can't. It's like comparing generations. We're comparing different ends of the arena. We're doing all these different things, but to act like Trevor's not up to Ty's, I mean, I promise you Ty Murray would not say that. So
I'll put it this way. If you're a Marvel type person, it's like comparing Iron Man to Captain America to Hulk, right? They're all powerful superheroes that are powerful in different ways. And more importantly, they've all made a mark on legendary marks on this sport. And the truth is, Stetson's not done. So he's not even fair in this conversation, because that's what amazes me, really, is that he's fresh mentally. You know what I mean? He's going to be playing a long time. So, you know, thanks for the feedback. But to say Ty, because he's a rough stock guy, and you know I like rough stock, but to say that he's better than Trevor, or it's not fair to even compare all of them. Like I said, they're all superheroes, just like you said.
For sure.
You know, so
they all, it's true. And I mean, we haven't even, we could easily throw in, you know, Dean Oliver or Casey Tibbs, yep, and all these different people. Yep. And also for the record, because it kind of cracks me up, somebody popped off a year or two ago, like they were, you know, inventing the wheel, and they're like, we're going to start calling Stetson Wright Superman in boots. And I chuckled because I started that with Ty in print. And then now people are like, oh, wait, you know, like they, I'm like, it doesn't diminish. Stetson's amazing. But just because it's yesterday's news, it doesn't diminish what, you know, what Ty got done in his era. So
nothing's original, Kendra. You know, remember, nothing's original. Everybody creates stuff from what they read in the past. So that's probably where they got that.
Well, anyway, whatever.
All right. What's the next one?
A question I've had all my life and never understood is, why did they change world championship for money earned all year to NFR earnings in the 70s? Never made sense. Took away Donnie Gay's 9th and got Ledoux 1.
Well, so I'll... Kendra will probably more eloquently lay this out for you guys.
I'm gonna pounce like a puma cat, but go ahead
You stand there with your stiletto and be ready. So this plays right into Kendra's hand. So I'm an advocate for progressive, more high impact rounds like we talked about in Houston, because I think that that's what consumers like. Interestingly enough, in 1976, 77, and 78, the powers that be at the PRCA decided that they would crown a PRCA champion for the year based on total money won, and then the world champion, and Kendall will correct me if I'm wrong, because I was like eight then. I was still rodeoing then with my dad, but anyway. And the world champion was crowned on the NFR, on what they did at the NFR. Now, interestingly enough, I gave old Donnie Gay, old 8X, a call, and he said, you know, the first thing is they didn't think about the fact they could have a tie, and him and Randy Majors tied in 77, and they got on two re-rides, and Randy won, and Donnie was actually had won $30,000 over the course of the year more than Randy Majors. And Donnie's quote to me was, that they had a really great world champion, but they didn't have the right one, which is very 8X to say that. So it's interesting though, but they did it because of television, and they thought that it would create a whole lot more intensity, and it obviously didn't work, because they went back to kind of the aggregate form of crowning the world champion. So back to you, Kendra.
Oh, I'm just, to me, this has been a grinder for as long as I've known about it. It was the great failed experiment. And someday, if I ever have enough of a break in the action, it probably doesn't matter now, because, you know, but I would almost love to go back. Now, we say powers that be, but wait a minute. It had to be a board of directors that made this decision. And here's my strong hunch. My strong hunch is that, well, for one thing, fact, it's a lot harder to win the regular season than it is to have a good 10 days in Oklahoma City, Vegas, or where, Dallas, 1959, whatever you want to say. So winning the regular season has to count, just because, I mean, all, you know, the rodeos to incentivize, you know, rodeos to be bigger and better are part of the conversation. And I mean, the course of the year, you know, the cream's going to rise to the top more than, I mean, everybody knows now the way it is with so much money in Vegas, which everybody loves so much money in Vegas, but it's weighted very heavily. And if you are not hot in Vegas, you cannot win the world. So that deal, my strong guess all these years is that guys who could not beat the likes of Donnie Gay and Leo Camarillo day in and day out wanted this. And I will be shocked if I ever, you know, am able to uncover, you know, who voted for this. The best guys in the world did not vote for this. And you know what it reminds me of? And this is probably going to get me some darts thrown at me, and I don't really care. A few years ago, when there were times when Sage Kimsey was kind of daylighting the field, that's when it was voted that, you know, like, say, for example, we've seen a guy win 80 grand in one night at the NFR. I promise you, and I'm positive because I've asked him, of course, Sage Kimsey did not vote for that. You want it for you. The only people that are going to vote for you to win 80,000 that counts and leapfrog somebody that rodeoed their ass off all year is going to be somebody who doesn't think he can beat Sage Kimsey day in and day out. So sorry if the hair is standing up on the back of my neck, but
yeah, but the cream rises to the top. There's a reason that the NFR's. So I agree with you, Kendra. And what I've seen in this is that the people that are winning the season are the best. So I give you that. However, the NFR sold out because it's the best livestock and the best people competing head to head every night. And you don't get that at 600 rodeos a year. You know, you get situations where cowboys enter, they've got two good calves in the pen to rope in. There may be great guys up that night or not. And it's an endurance contest, but you have to give credit to the fact that the reason that the NFR sold out, right, is because it's the 15 best guys battling out for 10 nights in a row in a high form, high fashion. And I do think that the season should count, but that's the reason the NFR is the NFR, right? And so I'm not saying that that's that they should crown the world champion on the NFR. I'm not saying that. But
well, it's almost like that now, because now we've seen guys come from 15th. And P.S., don't misinterpret. Nobody loves the NFR more than me. Like, I'm 38 years into being like front and center, like, don't miss a moment, like, love every minute of it. It's the greatest thing in the world. But making it sudden death, I'm also a dyed in the wool, may the best man win person. And you know, now the way it is, and all the Cowboys love the money in Vegas. But they're like, the fact of the matter is, you need to get a little bit hot out there to win it. You just do. And that's okay. But to toss out, if they made it 100% on 10 days, I think you'd have a picket line.
Well, it didn't work in 76, 77, and 78, and I don't think it's coming back. I think that the hybrid is neat, and I think the fact – we all want a comeback story. The fact that you've got to make it count in the 10 days should not be discounted either, right? Endurance is great, but when you got to play and you got to have the championship mentality, and you can talk to Trevor and all of them, when it matters most – is when you have to slow the heart rate down, tune the noise out, and just go beat them. And we all love that. That's what we love about sports. Okay, next one.
Do y'all feel a lot of armchair cowboys complaining about rocker and other complaints is due to the false narrative of all the rodeo athletes are aw shucks cowboys? If they only knew what most cowboys act like and behind the scenes, as rodeos grow and more behind the scene happens, the more people with blinders on will be shocked. There are people, good ones and bad ones.
Well, if I'm understanding this or whatever, if they're saying, of course people are people, and in every crowd, there's going to be some absolutely amazing people. There's going to be some maybe not salt of the earth people. I think as a rule, generally speaking, I really love our group of people, just like you were saying, Tommy Joe. I love the culture of cowboys and the cowboy code and all that. But I will say, in this day and age, if you're crummy, there's a really good chance that somebody's going to catch you on tape. And there's, you know, there are a couple things that have come out on tape this, and I'm not even going to mention what they are because I don't want people to go look for them, but things that were not becoming of, you know, cowboy people. And somebody, you know, in this remote-ish area, somebody was there watching, you know, with their phone videoing something that was very unbecoming to cowboy people. And, you know, do you ever watch something on like the news and it's like when, you know, the Twin Towers fell or when, you know, a plane hits the side of a mountain or something just crazy that just happened and people, you know, or like a building collapses and somebody just happened, there just happened to be video of it, you know, and it's like in this day and age, if you're going to jump off a balcony in Pendleton, you just have to just assume that if you do something crummy, I promise you our generation of people, cowboys, a lot of monkey, a lot of shenanigans happened. But I also feel like we're like kind of grateful that it wasn't the era of social media and cell phones, right? Because there's always going to be unbecoming things, but you better know now that if you're going to do something, even if you're lit at a beer stand, somebody's videoing you probably.
Yeah, or they're going to misinterpret what you're doing. What I don't like about this is I don't think it's fair, no spinner, to say what most cowboys act like behind the scenes. It's not fair. Listen, I talked about the Sandvix and stuff. There's been wild, wild, wild ass Indians in this game in the past. And Rocker's not the first. And it comes naturally in his bloodline and all of that stuff. But there are also very, straight 90 degree, straight up good humans that you couldn't force them to do anything wrong. But by the way, that's the way it is in life. It doesn't matter to me what color. None of that matters to me, but there are better people and worse people and terrible people and great people. And it's the same thing in rodeo because we're all human and get over it. Look in the mirror. And so I'm kind of tired of talking about the Rocker deal. Look, he's good for the sport. Again, we've said this 1,000 times. I'm over it. He's a wild hare. And you're right, Kendra. In my day, back in the day, if there were phones that recorded, right? I mean, yeah. All athletes, I mean, you looking out the videos that happen in an elevator that get on and next thing you know, that NFL player is out. I mean, it's real. And that's really, I think, probably pretty good as long as it doesn't get spun wrong. So.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, just now I had in my mind's eye, I'm like, I can think of these guys like at Reno, and Tony Amaral has his truck, and there's a cooler on the back of his tailgate at Reno, and it says steer wrestlers only, and some of the guys go there and, you know, drink beer or whatever, but, like, I have in my mind, like, they get on the beer or whatever, and here's a line of top 15 guys stepping over here. This is several years ago. This is not the current guys. This is one generation ago. But they step 3 feet away, and they're all lined up just taking a leak. And I'm like, if they did that today, it would be on YouTube tomorrow before sunup. And I'm just saying, be careful because everybody's watching. So
okay. Be the new TikTok trend.
All right, what do we got? I'm over that one.
All right. How long till calf roping, tie down, is replaced with breakaway, especially at bigger televised rodeos to appease sponsor and animal activists? Fast pretty girls versus baby calf being jerked around?
I can feel it through the screen. Kendra, I could just feel your response to this. So do you want me to go first so you can temper a bit, or do you want to go ahead and jump on this one?
You know, well, for one thing, we don't have to choose, so let's not suggest we do. But I remember a few short years ago when Breakaway hit center stage for the first time. And I remember having this wonderful conversation with my friend Larry D. Guy, who's a legendary cowgirl, and her little brother Tommy Guy was an NFR tie down rubber. And we had this grand conversation about this very topic, like, you know, the breakaway ropers don't want to in any way do anything but be a complimentary event, an additional bonus. You know, I probably won't say too much here because the question kind of pisses me off. So,
well, the answer to your question is never. Tie down roping is a part of the sanctioned events, and it's never going to go away. Now, I will say and encourage those in the rodeo community to always take a look at every discipline and see if there are things that can be adjusted within those disciplines that helps with the perception of what's going on. And that's just encouraging, you know, keeping an open mind and figuring out if there's things that we can do in each discipline and in the sport as a whole that alleviates any, you know, fake news or false impressions or perceptions of what's going on that we have to battle day in and day out. We should be talking about those, and we should contemplate making adjustments in any discipline that makes sense. So the answer to your question is no. Now, I think breakaway roping is great. You know, we've had this, we've already beat this around. It's a great event. And I think if they're going to play, they should play equally. If they're going to accept them in the sport, they should accept them equally across the boards. Now, I'll probably get some darts on that. But here's the deal. If they're going to play.
I agree. And let's do that for team ropers, too, for the love of God. But breakaway and the calf roping, you know, fantastic. And also, I've said forever, we do as a sport in every event, we do need to police ourselves and yep. make sure that everything we're doing is smart, especially as we go into the, you know, as we get further away from an agricultural society, we need to police ourselves and do what's best for the sport and not always some of the little things. This is where sometimes compromise comes into play if it's for the greater good. So
I love that. That was brilliantly stated. We are sipping from the same tea glass, sister. All right. What we got?
And Walt was not tied on.
I'll take this one. So for everybody's going, what the hell are you talking about? So last episode 52, we talked about Walt Woodard, who's about to turn 70 in November, placing fifth at the Bob Feist Invitational Team Roping Classic at the Lazy E, amongst every big dog in the sport. And so what they're talking about is there's a PRCA rule that when you turn 50, you are allowed to tie on when you as a heeler. So in other words, you don't have to when you make your shot, you could just have it tied hard and fast to your saddle horn, and you know you can come tight really quickly, and then you don't have to go through the motion of as much of getting your slack and going to the horn to Death Valley. So he could have 29 years ago started tying on if he wanted to take advantage of the handicap for his age group and chose not to because he doesn't need any handicapping. Walt Woodard's just a freaking bad cat. Let's go. Let's keep going.
So, yeah. Well, when I first read it, I'm like, his feet are tied in the stirrups so he doesn't fall off. But I get it. And it would be very, very quick. All right. Last one. Let's do one more, Greg.
This is from the 580. Can you touch on the alarming number of rodeos that aren't approving WPRA events this year? The Prairie Circuit has lost WPRA events as well as the Texas Circuit. Some of the rodeos have been synonymous with bad ground for barrel racers, and barrel racers are being criticized for speaking out about unsafe conditions. Are we taking a step back by staying silent and enduring unsafe conditions or be removed from the rodeos? To the committees who have worked tirelessly to improve conditions for contestants, it is noticed and appreciated.
Okay, first off, I think this is fake news. 580. I don't. You can give us specific examples of the alarming number of rodeos that are leaving the WPRA. I'm not seeing that now. Remember, we told you about Cowtown up in New Jersey that parted ways with the WPRA, did not do a WPRA event because of discussions about how much they have to work the ground. And consequently, they got named PRCA Small Rodeo of the Year. It's my irony there. And so I'm aware of that in that circuit. And maybe one or two others that maybe... and I can't even know the names, but I don't think that there's an alarming amount. Now, there's a lot in this, and then I'll kick it over to Kendra. The thing about it is if you're going to run these horses full speed on ground, it needs to be safe. It needs to be safe for the ladies on the back. It needs to be safe for the competitors. Now, the competition side of that, you know, they all, to me, that's, you know, they're all running on the ground, whatever the conditions are. They need to do it correctly when they're riding, I think, also to protect their horses. And many of them do. I'm not saying that. And so the ground is amazingly important. And I think a lot of committees are doing it. I do think that the WPRA flexing their muscle on making sure that the ground is right is exactly what they ought to do as an association for their members. I think that's what the association is for, is to protect their members and the horse athletes that are involved in it. But I just don't, I don't think it's fair to say that there's an alarming number and that we're going to see barrel racing and breakaway go away. And by the way, the WPRA did implement some policies that discourage WPRA members from participating in organized barrel racings and breakaways that are not WPRA sanctioned to kind of battle this. You know, there are things in place, you know, that you know, it's not just easy to say I'm going to do a $50,000 barrel race and invite the top 20 girls. That isn't as easy as it sounds, and then make my own rules up if they want to play. So, Kendra, anything on this from your end?
Well, I'll say, you know, nobody's against good ground. I can't imagine. I don't remember the last time that I've watched a rodeo that didn't stop halfway through with a big drag with the tractor. And I think that the ground conditions in my lifetime it's night and day how far it's come. So I feel like it's being talked about more than ever before, and more committees than ever before are taking great pride in their ground. It's for 100%. I mean, when I was a kid, you never one time would see a tractor out there halfway. I mean, so that there's a lot of progress being made on this safe ground.
And by the way, we always say, oh, I think there's that joke about barrel racers getting buried in the ground and all this. Let me bring to everybody's attention, because I think this is pretty interesting. The ground in a typical arena, and I've studied it, it's a part of, but it has to be literally prepared differently in different portions of the arena because of the different disciplines. As you know, Kendra, having a long lineage of relationships with bulldoggers and, you know, that family of cowboys, that ground's very, very important for how they compete. Same thing for the animal athletes on the rough stock end, whether they can get their footing. Same thing for the barrel racers. So it's not just barrel racers. Good ground is important for all the disciplines, all the events. And rodeos do need to, and if they haven't yet, the rodeo committees need to understand that it is critical. It is critical, and you need to take it serious. You know, I understand Farmer Bill, he comes, he's on the committee, and he brings his farm all and his you know, six hole disc, and he's worked the arena that way for 50 years. Same thing. Same thing that we talked about in the disciplines, Kendra. We need to continue to improve all of these things, including the ground, for all of the participants in rodeo.
Well, and it's not coincidental that the barrel race is right for the bull riding, and that they don't have the steer wrestling after the barrel race, where there could be big ruts for those guys. That's not a coincidence. It's positioned toward the end of the rodeo like that on purpose.
Well, Greg, remind everybody how you send us feedback, because in a couple of weeks we will talk about yours, unless it's stupid and you have the brain cells of an amoeba.
So you can text us at 817-668-2395 or send an email to nospinfeedback@gmail.com.
Well, I think we went well over 30 minutes, but we covered all of the valid feedback. Let's wrap it up for everybody. Kendra? Final thoughts from the Rose Garden in Oklahoma with the championship saddles. I'm telling you, people, if you haven't seen, and you really look beautiful. I mean, the color contrast is very, the medallion on your neck. What is that? Help us with that.
That's a Taylor's first NFR from in 2019. Me and I have a matching NFR shield necklace. Yeah, really cool. Anyway, so my final thought for the day is people need to be nice. And when I, as a kind of a rodeo family, like, you know, being asked to do something so hard as a young man dying, and then someone comments, he 1,000% deserved to die, or, you know, or people, something about, you know, Ice Cat or whatever, and someone was so rude. And I'm like, you know, there's no excuse to be rude and mean and nasty. And people need to just be nice. If you want to disagree with something that I say or you say, you and I have disagreed about so many things, we've lost count decades ago, okay? But we can respectfully have a conversation without being rude and nasty and mean and ugly. So I would just really appreciate it if people, just generally speaking, whether you're on the phone, whether you're on a text, whether you're on social media, on a, you know, anywhere, at a rodeo, be nice.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, when I went through cancer, one of the things that I realized is that when you're going through the grocery line and your checkout person is not being as friendly, do me a favor and ask yourself, you don't know, we all don't know what any particular person is going through at that moment in their life, right? And you can't sympathize with some of this stuff unless you've been through it. And so I agree with you. It would really be nice if people would quit being ignorant and have a little more compassion. And I'm guilty of it too. But, you know, compassion is a lost art. You know, it doesn't make you tough to not be compassionate. True toughness is a person that has the ability to withstand the elements with a tear in their eye if they need to, in my opinion. So
You can have a difference of opinion without being rude.
You can indeed. I mean, we do it all the time, you and I. I mean, we're the examples of that. I mean, I've been admittedly a little too rude to you, and so I want to take this moment to apologize until next time when I'm rude again. Okay, everybody, thank you for joining us. This has been episode 52. Thank you, people on YouTube. Thank you for taking a look at us.
It's episode 53, Skippy, but I'm being nice about it.
Is it really? Is it 53, Greg?
53.
Oh, episode 53. I knew, and I was going to correct you for saying episode 52. I stand corrected. That was fake news. This is episode 53. We are through the halfway century mark. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Next time will be episode 54. So thank you all. Thanks for watching us on YouTube, Facebook. Send us your messages. We'll talk to you if you deserve it. We'll have a crossfire next time. Be safe. Try to be nice. Otherwise, have a good day. God bless you. We'll catch you next time. This is No Spin Rodeo.